Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Forbes Auto contributor Dale Buss joins us on WGN Radio again. Hey, Dale, it's John Williams. How are you?
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon.
We appreciate your help. I know you were on with Steve Grzanich early this morning. The president has since tweeted that he's angry about this, and they'd better get something going again, or they're going to be sorry. Can you just talk a little bit about what he's saying and what power or leverage the president
has?
Sure,
yeah. Well, not surprisingly, this story has legs, right? I mean, this is a big deal, and it involves American manufacturing. So you know, from even during the campaign, that Donald Trump is interested in anything having to do with American manufacturing. So when he talked on the phone with Mary Barra Sunday evening, you know, she couldn't have been surprised about his interest. I really don't know that there's that much he can do about this. I mean, he was talking earlier today about saying that he's going to essentially demand that General Motors build a plant in Ohio or keep its Lordstown plant open to make electric car or make cars for China. Well, the economics of that certainly aren't going to work. You can't make cars in Ohio and ship them to China. He'd have to send out the National Guard to make General Motors do that. So his latest thing is, okay, GM is going to hurt American manufacturing with these moves to close 5 plants in North America. We're going to take your subsidies away for electric cars. And basically that's, you know, the federal subsidy of up to, I think, $7,500 on full EVs like the Chevrolet Bolt and the Tesla, you know, Model 3. I don't know how effective that could be either, because GM at this point just doesn't sell many electric cars. Part of their announcement was they're going to discontinue production of the Chevy Bolt, which once was kind of seen as the answer, the plug-in hybrid. It was going to be the answer for GM on electric cars. So I don't see that, you know, being anything more than symbolic. And basically, I think the president's just trying to say, I'm going to stay in your face about this and try to make sure, Mary Barra, that you're going to do everything you can to minimize the damage to American manufacturing.
She's the CEO of General Motors.
Mary Barra, yep.
It's funny because the president, and I remember reading him saying this. I don't remember if this was him campaigning or it was one of his rallies since then. But he told the people in Ohio, in the towns where some of these plants are located, don't sell your houses now because GM is coming back and they're going to come back stronger. And he was in everybody's chair and the president's got our back. And then General Motors said, we're leaving town.
Well, yeah, and Trump was reflecting, obviously his rhetoric was reflecting his promise to help revitalize American manufacturing in general. So plug in name of town, whatever plant is there, you know, you want to kind of rally folks. And he has done a lot to help American manufacturing. All the CEOs I talk with are, you know, really bullish about what Trump has done. The economy is obviously great. There are a couple of disconnects, though, when it comes to General Motors. One is, it's been now about 4 years of the U.S. auto market kind of topping out around 17 million units a year. It's probably not going to keep increasing. Sedan sales in particular are declining rapidly, and GM makes a lot of sedans. So they have to do something about that kind of very specific effect on their business. And second, recession is going to come at some point, and one of the strengths of Barra has been to try and get ahead of things instead of, as is traditional in the U.S. auto industry, kind of letting things fall apart and then reacting. So those two specifics are why, you know, she is doing this against the backdrop that might cause a lot of people to scratch heads, saying, hey, American manufacturing is back, the economy is good, you know, what's up here?
Did the industry see this coming? Did those of you that watch it know that those plants were on the edge?
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, not something maybe this extensive where she has tied in, you know, these plant closures and layoffs with sort of reorganizing resources and trying to do more about electric cars and driverless cars. But for at least the last couple of years, some of these plants have been, you know, trimming back production, cutting shifts, cutting, you know, having longer layoffs. The Chevy Cruze, which is a small car, the Impala, which is a full-size car. There was definitely a sense that GM needs to do something at least about its sedans, because Chrysler essentially stopped making sedans in America a couple of years ago, and Ford has said we're going to do this over time over the next couple of years. So, yeah, maybe not something this extensive, but that's kind of part of Barra's thing, is she wants to stay ahead of expectations and developments and not wait for them to happen to her. That's been one of her strengths as CEO in the last 4 years.
So if people don't want Impalas, the six models are the Volt, the Chevy Cruze, the Impala, the Cadillac CT6, the Cadillac XTS, and the Buick LaCrosse. If people don't want to buy those cars, if I'm General Motors, I shouldn't be making those cars. But then can't they make other kinds of cars in those plants? Can't we keep those people employed doing something else?
Well, that is part of the promise or possibility, let's say. I mean, along with falling sedan sales, the flip side of that is that SUVs and trucks are selling at all-time highs. This is clearly, these are clearly the vehicle forms that Americans prefer now by about 2 to 1. They're higher profit, they're more expensive, so that's good for every automaker. So, yeah, the idea would be, let's keep selling more pickups and SUVs. Maybe we can pick up some of the slack in these car plants. And, in fact, that's kind of exactly what Ford has done at this plant in Michigan, where it used to make the little Ford Focus, if you remember that.
Yeah.
And now it's re-equipping the plant to make a new Ford Bronco SUV, thanks, you know, the thing that OJ made famous, and also a new midsize pickup truck that Ford hasn't had for a while. So that's an example of how, yes, car plants can be repurposed profitably for vehicles that Americans actually want. So, of course, GM is going to be trying to do that, but they just have more capacity devoted to sedans than other companies.
But they haven't said that production of the replacement vehicles for these models is going to be in Mexico or someplace else, have they?
No, I mean, they're not going to replace these sedans, essentially. So the replacement, quote-unquote, is going to take place in the form of, sedans that are still selling okay, like the Malibu is still out there, Chevy Malibu. But it's mostly going to take place, if auto sales pick up in general, in terms of higher sales of GM's SUVs
and
trucks.
Yeah, but I want you to understand my question. The question is this concurrent with, though, them saying, okay, shutting down American facilities, going to open them in another country? It's not job exports. It's just these aren't selling here, period.
It's just market rationalization adjusting to what American consumers have been doing. And I guarantee you, General Motors said, we're going to move production to Mexico. Trump would take those National Guard troops on the border to Honduras.
Turn them around.
Caravan, and he would turn them around.
Okay.
So you guys go back.
All right, here's some text from our listeners. John, this is the last year for the Tesla rebate of $7,500. It is ending. Shocker. John, we all had Impalas, but we don't anymore. And 847 said, and that's true. I understand. John, Malibu versus Corolla is a no-brainer. That's why GM dies. I thought the American manufacturers had closed the gap with the Japanese.
Well, it's true. I mean, the quality gap has been essentially completely closed around the world, especially in Western countries. The highest quality manufacturer these days is Hyundai, in their Hyundai and Kia brands. That wasn't true even 5 years ago. So that's really not an issue. I think what that texter might be saying is, in terms of capabilities, in terms of what makes a neat car, Malibu or Impala don't hold a candle to a Corolla I don't know about a Corolla, but maybe a Camry. And that is true that to these Japanese brands, they're continuing at this point to stand behind their sedans, which are now increasingly important on a relative basis to them compared to how important sedans are to the American big three. So Toyota Camry, Honda Accord. As GM, Ford, and Fiat Chrysler phase out their sedans, presumably that's going to be a good thing for those Japanese brands, assuming that there is, remains a large enough contingent of American car buyers who want sedans, and these Japanese companies say that there are.
What if I have one of those six models? Should I sell it now? Are there still going to be replacement parts? And I wonder what the aftermarket's going to be.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to tell. I mean, certainly they're going to be replacement parts for many years. That's not really a problem. But should you sell it now? I don't know. I mean, I guess you could kind of wait and see how things play out. There still is a market for sedans, and there's especially going to be a market for late model used sedans once the new ones are no longer available. So think about that. For the next 2-3 years, the residual values of these cars could go up, because there's still about a third or more of new vehicle sales are still sedans. So it's a pretty considerable market. It's just, this is just a reflection of how the relative strength of SUVs versus sedans has basically flipped in the last 5 years.
I thought I also heard, maybe you can just kind of clear me up on this. I'm a little foggy here, Dale, but the trade war that we're on with China has increased the cost of Chinese steel to General Motors by $1 billion. And so it's more expensive for them to make these vehicles because they use parts or material from China. And that's part of the problem. Is there anything like that going on here?
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of the problem. Automakers are having to swallow all sorts of extra costs. I mean, there's tariffs on European steel and aluminum, Chinese steel. It's definitely a factor, but if these other fundamental factors in shaping Mary Barra's decision weren't there, you know, the things we've been talking about here, I don't think they'd be necessarily closing plants because of the cost of those tariffs. Most manufacturers, most companies, you know, are still in the kind of the mode where they're like, all right, we hate these extra costs, but they're trying not to pass them on to consumers. They're trying to wait it out a little bit, maybe, you know, with the idea that Trump, you know, is mercurial. He may change his mind. Who knows what he's going to do? But they're getting to the point when you talk about $1 billion, as Everett Dirksen did or did not say.
Yeah.
Pretty soon you're talking about real money, right?
Yeah.
So that's a lot of money off the bottom line for General Motors. That definitely was a factor, but not the biggest one.
I'll read you three quick texts, respond to them any way you want, and then I'll let you go. 708 said, on a Malibu, you got to take the whole front end off just to change the headlight bulb. It's like 2.5 hour job just to change a light bulb. 219 said,
well, you can still buy a Malibu if you enjoy that. So
219 says, hey, all of this is baloney. I see Impalas all over the place. Well, tell it to General Motors. They've got the numbers. And 262 said, John, consumers like myself are hanging on to their cars longer than before. It used to be we'd change them out after 100,000 miles and consider buying a new car, but now people put more mileage on them. There's some truth to that, isn't there?
Well, yeah, there's definitely a factor. I mean, the average car on the road is still like 10 years old, roughly, and that's just a reflection of quality improvements and, you know, people leasing perhaps instead of buying and all sorts of factors. But that's what's kind of been remarkable at the last 4 years of the U.S. auto industry. I mean, they kept selling a record level of cars, about 17 million a year. And I think it's just an expansion of the number of cars people have in their garages. It's a reflection more recently of the economic recovery and the strength of the economy. Barra is just saying, hey, you know, instead of being behind and threatening the existence of the entire company like GM did 10 years ago, we want to get ahead of it. There's going to be some pain for workers and lots of other folks, but this is what we think is best for General Motors.
Dale Buss writes about the auto industry for Forbes. It's nice to talk to you, Dale, and did a nice job with my friend Steve Grzanich this morning. We'll be in touch. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye.